A Call to the Watchman: Our Attitude Toward Doctrinal Controversy. Sanitarium, California, July 31st, 1910. I have words to speak to my brethren east and west, north and south. I request that my writings shall not be used as the leading argument to settle questions over which there is now controversy. I entreat of Elder blank 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 and others of our leading brethren that they make no reference to my writings to sustain their views of the daily. It has been presented to me that this is not a subject of vital importance. I am instructed that our brethren are making a mistake in magnifying the importance of the difference in the views that are held. I cannot consent that any of my writings shall be taken as settling this matter. The true meaning of the daily is not to be made a test question. I now ask that my ministering brethren shall not make use of my writings in their arguments regarding this question, for I have had no instruction on the point under discussion, and I see no need for the controversy. Regarding this matter, under present conditions, silence is eloquence. The enemy of our work is pleased when a subject or minor importance can be used to divert the minds of our brethren from the great questions that should be the burden of our message. As this is not a test question, I entreat of my brethren that they shall not allow the enemy to triumph by having it treated as such. The work that the Lord has given us at this time is to present to the people the true light in regard to the testing questions of obedience and salvation, the commandments of God, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. In some of our important books that have been in print for years, and which have brought many to a knowledge of the truth, there may be found matters of minor importance that call for careful study and correction. Let such matters be considered by those regularly appointed to have the oversight of our publications. Let not these brethren, nor our canvassers, nor our ministers, magnify these matters in such a way as to lessen the influence of these good, soul-saving books. Should we take up the work of discrediting our literature, we would place weapons in the hands of those who have departed from the faith, and confuse the minds of those who have newly embraced the message. The less that is done unnecessarily to change our publications, the better it will be. In a night seasons, I seem to be repeating to my brethren in responsible positions words from the first epistle of John: that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Our brethren should understand that self needs to be humbled and brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. The Lord calls upon those who have had great light to be converted daily. This is the message I have to bear to our editors and to the presidents of all our conferences. We must walk in the light while we have the light, lest darkness come upon us. All who are led by the Holy Spirit of God will have a message for this last time. With mind and heart, they will be carrying a burden for souls, and they will bear the heavenly message of Christ to those with whom they associate. Those who in speech act as the Gentiles act cannot be introduced into the heavenly courts. My brethren, receive the light, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Satan is busily working with all who will give him encouragement. Those who have the light but refuse to walk in it will become confused until darkness pervades their souls and shapes their whole course of action. But the Spirit of wisdom and goodness of God, as revealed in His Word, will become brighter and brighter as they follow on in the path of true obedience. All the righteous demands of God will be met through sanctification of the Holy Spirit.
Will our brethren follow out the light given us at the last General Conference? The words spoken did not then make their full impression, because the hearts of many were not prepared to receive them. It is not for lack of instruction as to what should be done that our cities have so long been unwarned. Our brethren have failed to comprehend the urgent importance of the work and the instruction that was given regarding it. The great blessing that might have come to some at the last General Conference was not received, because they had other plans which they wished to follow. Will our brethren now awake to their responsibility? Will they be converted daily? Will they seek to know what it means to serve God daily? Will the Israel of God now awake? Will our church members now arise and walk in the way of the Lord? Will everyone now seek to walk in humility before God? Let the sacred work now be carried forward in wholehearted consecration. There are great privileges and blessings for all who will humble themselves and fully consecrate their hearts to God. Great light will be given to them. When men are willing to be transformed, then they will be exercised unto godliness. And of His fullness have we all received, and grace for grace. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Says the Savior, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Shall this wealth of grace and power for service continue among us to be unappreciated and turned from without relish or appetite? The instruction I am bidden to give to our people now is the same as I gave while in Washington. The Lord calls for individual effort. One cannot do the work of another. Great light has been shining, but it has not been fully comprehended and received. If our brethren will now consecrate themselves unreservedly to God, He will accept them. He will give them a transformation of mind, that they may be savers of life unto life. Wake up, brethren and sisters, that you may attain to your high calling through Christ Jesus our Lord. Signed, Ellen G. White, Sanitarium, California, August 3, 1910. To my brethren in the ministry. Dear fellow workers, I have words to speak to brethren Butler, Loughborough, Haskell, Smith,
Gilbert, Daniels, Prescott, and all who have been active in urging their views in regard to the meaning of the daily of Daniel 8. This is not to be made a test question, and the agitation that has resulted from its being treated as such has been very unfortunate. Confusion has resulted, and the minds of some of our brethren have been diverted from the thoughtful consideration that should have been given to the work that the Lord has directed should be done at this time in our cities. This has been pleasing to the great enemy of our work. The light given me is that nothing should be done to increase the agitation upon this question. Let it not be brought into our discourses and dwelt upon as a matter of great importance. We have a great work before us, and we have not an hour to lose from the essential work to be done. Let us confine our public efforts to the presentation of the important lines of truth on which we have clear light. I would bring to your attention the last prayer of Christ, as recorded in John 17. There are many subjects upon which we can speak, sacred, testing truths, beautiful in their simplicity. On these you may dwell with intense earnestness. But let not the daily, or any other subject that will arouse controversy among brethren, be brought in at this time, for this will delay and hinder the work that the Lord would have the minds of our brethren centered upon just now. Let us not agitate questions that will reveal a marked difference of opinion, but rather, let us bring from the Word the sacred truths regarding the binding claims of the law of God. Our ministers should seek to make the most favorable presentation of the truth. So far as possible, let all speak the same things. Let the discourses be simple, and treating upon vital subjects that can be easily understood. When all our ministers see the necessity of humbling themselves, then the Lord can work with them. We need now to be reconverted, that angels of God may cooperate with us, making a sacred impression upon the minds of those for whom we labor. We must blend together in the bonds of Christ-like unity. Then our labors will not be in vain. Draw in even cords, and let no contentions be brought in. Reveal the unifying power of truth, and this will make a powerful impression on human minds. In unity, there is strength.
This is not a time to make prominent, unimportant points of difference. If some who have not a strong living connection with the Master reveal to the world their weakness of Christian experience, the enemies of the truth who are watching us closely will make the most of it, and our work will be hindered. Let all cultivate meekness and learn lessons from him who is meek and lowly in heart. The subject of the daily should not call forth such movements as have been made. As a result of the way this subject has been handled by men on both sides of the question, controversy has arisen and confusion has resulted. The action of Brother Blank Blank in publishing a tract containing condemnation of his brethren and of their belief was not endorsed by God. And to Elder Blank I will say, the Lord has not placed upon you a burden regarding this matter. I was pained to hear that Elder Blank, knowing that there was a difference of opinion regarding this matter among our leading brethren, should urge this matter to the front, as was done in some places. Others of our brethren have not been guided by wisdom, and have not reasoned clearly from cause to effect regarding the results of their efforts to uphold their views regarding the interpretation of the daily. While the present condition of difference of opinion regarding this subject exists, let it not be made prominent. Let all contention cease. At such a time, silence is eloquence. The duty of God's servants at this time is to preach the word in the cities. Christ came to save souls, and we, as almoners of his grace, need to impart to the inhabitants of the great cities a knowledge of his saving truth. Signed, Ellen G. White.